Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everyone is staying safe out there. As we know, the roadways very hazardous out there. So if you've absolutely got to be somewhere, be as careful as possible. If you don't, probably a good idea to remain in the house at home today. Snuggled up in the warmth. It's really cold out there as well. So make sure you keep an eye on the weather today and on the roadways as well. Joe, some breaking news. The NHL has announced that tonight's game between the Predators and the Dallas Stars has been postponed. This coming from the NHL moments ago. Quote, after further discussions with Dallas Mayor Eric Johnson's office, tonight's game between the Nashville Predators and the Dallas Stars at American Airlines Center is also being postponed due to the continued power outages in the Dallas area caused by severe weather. A makeup date will be announced as soon as it can be confirmed. So we saw the game get postponed last night, Joe. No game tonight as well for the Predators in Dallas. So both games washed out for the time being in Dallas for the Preds.
So the break is there, and they'll have this time, whether they want it or not. You know, yeah, like you said, a lot of teams would rather get on the ice and you start turning things around, but maybe it'll end up being beneficial for them. Again, I don't think it's necessarily beneficial to ever play Dallas the way that they play against them. So I guess you look at it from that perspective, but obviously they're going to get a break here and see if they can get it turned around at Columbus.
And we were talking in the last segment about the struggles that the Predators have had and how much time they've got left to get things figured out this season. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Doug in Franklin texts in and says, there's a difference between a good team in a slump and a bad team. Right now, the Predators look more like a bad team than they do a good team in a slump. This is coming from Doug in Franklin. What do you think of that that Doug threw out there?
I agree. I totally agree. I mean, and that's the thing. It's like again, there are guys who are not playing up to their talent, up to what they've produced in the past. So you could look at it that way. Certainly there are some people who should play better individually, but I think the overall play of this team this year is not the play of a playoff team.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Frank texts in and says, this team has no identity and are only competitive against the worst teams. We need to face reality that nothing is happening this year, but the organization, specifically Poile, don't seem to be willing to face that reality. That's what's frustrating for most of us fans. Now, to Frank's point there, not playing against or competitively against only the worst teams, they didn't look very competitive against the Red Wings the other night either, which was, I think, maybe even more concerning.
Right. And as far as, you know, I assume the reference to Poile is you know, what he did in the offseason, which, you know, look, I mean, I thought he was going to do more. He didn't. I understand the thinking on what they're trying to do, and it very much hinges on your top forwards being all having, like, if not career years, really good years, and that hasn't even come close to happening so far. But we don't know right now on a minute-by-minute basis how David Poile is, you know, is looking at this thing. I mean, until he blows it up, he's not going to tell us about blowing up, right?
Exactly. So if you missed it, the Predators game tonight against Dallas has been postponed. So last night's game gets postponed about, I don't know, what, an hour, 45 minutes before puck drop was scheduled to happen. Today, a little bit more timely on the announcement.
Thank
postponed
God.
Postponed tonight. Yeah, so forth, you don't have to wait until 45 minutes before puck drop. Have you ever seen anything like that? Like,
no.
45 minutes before an event happens, or just like, yep, all right, we're done.
There was nothing in the playbook for what happened at 6:40 last night. There was nothing in the playbook. So we had to dip out of pregame. Don't know why it took that long for the Dallas Stars and the city of Dallas to come to that decision, but glad and thankful for a 9 a.m. decision today.
Yes, a 9 a.m. decision today, and now the next time the Predators will be in action will be on Thursday, when they'll take on the Columbus Blue Jackets. They've beaten Columbus twice already this season. Kind of a different-looking Columbus team heading into this matchup, though. Patrick Laine in the fold. Pierre-Luc Dubois is out. So that'll be the next time we see the Predators on the ice coming up on Thursday, and we'll see whether or not Ryan Johansson is a part of it as well. So we'll look forward to that as the week continues to develop here. Joe, we talked a little bit yesterday about Jerry Stackhouse and the piece that you came out with over the weekend on theathletic.com. And yesterday in that discussion, you mentioned that you were putting together kind of a piece that highlights the full transcript of the interview that, as we know, a whole lot of words involved in the entire interview that you have put up and put out there since then yesterday. What did you learn from that, and what's been the reaction on social media and in your comments on The Athletic since you put the entire transcript out there from Jerry Stackhouse and your interview with him last week?
Yeah, I mean, I put most of the transcript. I actually tweeted. I mean, if you did the whole transcript, it's almost 8,000 words.
Right.
So I basically took the first two questions out, which were really mostly talking about basketball stuff. I actually did tweet those out too. I learned yesterday, Mitch Light, who is my editor again at The Athletic, by the way, he was previously my editor. He is again now. He got to teach me how to do a little like file. Well, actually he did it and then he texted it to me. So, you know, I'm sure for a lot of people, it's very easy to tweet out little word files with a bunch of quotes. Never done it before. So taking some big strides there, but the reaction, you know, it hasn't been like, I mean, the reaction from the start to now has been steady. There's been a lot of reaction to this whole thing. The reaction of the transcript, I mean, again, like if you read it, I don't think it really changes, you know, I don't really think it changes anything. You know, I mean, he sort of randomly threw that quote in and the quote he was talking about. I guess if anybody thought he was directly talking about like Vanderbilt fans, which they never should have thought that. But, you know, there's some people out there who aggregate things and twist things and get sensational headlines and get clicks off it. And that's what happened here. So if you thought that, then I guess if you read the whole quote, then you're like, oh, yeah. Because, I mean, the question was about Jeff Goodman and Twitter, blocking people and that stuff. And then he eventually got into that. So I haven't had a like I don't think it's like some big revelation. I just want to, for the record, here it is. And you can judge for yourself. Now, other reaction includes me getting angry at Stillman yesterday because he talked about this for a long time. Jared has a very different take than I do on Stackhouse. I mean, even in the first place, he thinks he's a bad coach and has said that. And I think Jared's wrong, but I'm talking basketball coach. I mean, you know, being a college basketball coach, there's a lot that goes into it, including recruiting, including media stuff. I mean, all these things, but as a basketball coach, I think Jerry's very good, but Jared, you know, and this is where I'm too sensitive too. He's calling this thing like a puff piece and like I'm trying to do Jerry a solid by doing the story. I mean, the point of the story was to have a balanced story. That's why I quoted Jeff Goodman in the story. Jerry ripped Jeff Goodman in the interview. You can't have someone rip like that and then not call them. So I called him. And Goodman ripped Stackhouse. And, you know, and maybe some of his stuff was unfair, but I mean, that's balance. You know, the idea is not Jerry Stackhouse is the greatest coach ever. Yay, everybody, look. I mean, you know, you try to interview people and get as much information as possible and try to be balanced. But anyway, it's just another way for me to be mad at Jared. And I sent him some texts yesterday to that effect, and we went back and forth. It was great.
Well, it's fascinating because, you know, we talked about the story itself on Friday. It came out while we were on the air. And, you know, in a way, it's kind of a shame that it's gone the way it has because I thought it was a really fascinating story on Jerry Stackhouse and just kind of how he approaches this job and everything that goes into it. And obviously the last few days have gone in a different direction with that one quote that everybody's kind of focused in on and the reaction has been generated from. But, It's a shame in that way because I think the story that you did on Stackhouse, he's a very fascinating guy. And I think, you know, especially in our line of business, like having people be real and be open and actually talk about things rather than just give your generic answers that have been rehearsed 1,000 times, that's an art that, quite frankly, I think is dying off in our industry. And it's refreshing to see that. So from that standpoint, it's kind of a shame it's gone the way that it has, just because I think the overall point of the story was a really good one.
Well, yeah, I agree. Like that's the thing. After I did the interview, I'm like, oh my gosh, that's the best interview I've done in a long time, you know? And hopefully like this doesn't change that, but I don't think it will. And you know, it's Look, it's interesting to me, Robbie, so much reaction. Yes, the quote, you know, again, you use the word Trump and anything, and it's just going to go nuts. And again, that's where, I mean, I should have anticipated that, but I've heard such a wide range of reaction from so many different people to the piece, from, oh my gosh, this guy's amazing, I love him, to, man, I don't know, he's just too, you know, he's too abrasive. He, you know, and it's been interesting to see that too. Some people, I think, and again, it comes down to, is he going to win? He's going to win. A lot more people are going to like all that stuff. Okay. But I do think some people are almost a little bit so used to what you're talking about there. They're so used to just a blah, blah, blah droning that goes on, especially in the Zoom world, that I think some of what, you know, how Jerry came out there was a little bit jarring. But again, like, this is how it used to be, okay? And this is how it should be. Like, say what you think. I mean, none of this stuff is ultimately going to – this is – it's a results business. And if he – if his recruiting pays off and he is finding kids who turn into really good teams that get to the NCAA tournament and all that, man, believe me, I mean, it's – none of this stuff – is going to amount to a hill of beans. But in the meantime, yeah, I mean, I know in our business, it's like anytime you find someone who actually says what they think, that's a good and an increasingly rare thing.
Again, if you missed the breaking news to begin the segment of the show here today, tonight's Preds game against Dallas has been postponed. There has been no makeup date announced officially yet. That will be announced as soon as it can be confirmed. But last night's game against Dallas postponed, tonight's game also postponed as well. So no Nashville Predators hockey tonight. We'll be right back. Continue the show right along here on this Tuesday morning here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, taking you through this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Again, if you missed the breaking news coming out moments ago from the NHL, the Predators and Stars game for tonight has been postponed. So there will be no Nashville Predators hockey tonight. The next time they'll be back on the ice will be on Thursday against the Columbus Blue Jackets. So if you're planning on listening to or watching the Predators game tonight, not going to happen tonight. So two back-to-back postponements for the Predators in Dallas, dealing with some inclement weather, some power outages down there as well. So we'll see when that makeup date is announced. And once that happens, we'll get that information to you as soon as possible. And Joe, we were talking in the last segment about your piece on Jerry Stackhouse that you've come out with, and there was another thought that you wanted to give. So without further ado, I turn the floor over to you.
Well, yeah. So there's another part of this. And again, it kind of goes back to the Goodman thing, you know, Goodman, and to paraphrase, I don't have it in front of me, but basically, like, no, thin skin, you know, that's fine. I mean, I think that's a fair, obviously Jerry Stackhouse, when you're out there getting into it with people, blocking people on Twitter, I wouldn't advise a coach to do that. Like I've said, man, muting people is the most amazing thing in the world. It's a beautiful thing. They have no idea. But regardless, he's done
that. Best revelation in my life for the last year plus at this point.
No, it's great, because I'm sure, like, every once in a while, I'm like, how many people are screaming at me right now? And I have no idea. It's so fantastic. But, you know, the not working hard thing. So this brings me back to I thought about when I was covering Michigan State football long ago, and a wacky guy named John L. Smith was the head football coach. And you know, John L. Smith, who, by the way, his last year as Michigan State's head football coach, I was one of the beat writers. He would not answer any of my questions the entire year. So, you know, that just shows you how that went. But, you know, John L., one summer, he went and he climbed Mount Kilimanjaro, okay? Because he's like the skydiving guy, you know, like he's a bucket list guy, goes out and tries to do all the, you know, things like that. So like then the next year, like anytime they lost, you know, it'd be like, oh, maybe you shouldn't have been climbing Mount Kilimanjaro, huh? You know, you'd have been out recruiting somebody, right? So okay. So other coaches with their downtime, like they were golfing or something, like what's the difference? It's just because he did like some, you know, he did something that was notable, so people have this perception that he's not doing his job. I mean, anybody with any job has some downtime, right? So this comes back to Stackhouse, because another thing that I've heard from people is like, oh, Stackhouse golfs a lot, okay? And, like, again, I think back to – it's like, okay, Tom Izzo, I covered him. Like, he's like a scratch golfer, or at least he used to be. And yet he's like this hardest working guy. Yeah, he works his butt off. But, I mean, he's also golfs a lot, okay? So, like, it's just like some of these things that people want to cling to try to prove that someone is or isn't something. I mean, I just think they all get a little bit ridiculous. These are all human beings who do have time and don't have to work every single second of every single day to do their job well. So we'll see with Jerry. We'll see how he does.
I would think being able to climb Mount Kilimanjaro would be a heck of a recruiting pitch if you're John L. Smith.
Yeah, you know, you would have thought. You would have thought so. But he may have been a little bit wacky. After one press conference, he used to like slap people, okay? Like jokingly.
What? So after one,
Yeah, well, even like so one of his players who had this amazing game came up right after him at the podium and he slapped the it was Jeff Smoker's quarterback. I mean, he slapped him so hard. Like Smoker at first was like, "Oh my God." And then they were like, "Ah, yeah." But they beat Notre Dame one time. So he would come off. They beat Notre Dame one time, and I'd written some critical stuff that week. He shoved me in the back, like in front of, because I had been standing. There weren't any seats at Notre Dame, and like shoved me in the back. The whole place was like, whoa. And, you know, he was kind of joking. He used to like hug Jamel when he'd come off the podium. And I actually really enjoyed him, even though he wouldn't answer my questions the last year. I still have good feelings for John L. But anyway, yeah, you're right. Maybe he should have used that as a play. And hey, you know, if Jerry Stackhouse is a good golfer, maybe that could be a recruiting play. Again, I just think it's so stupid. Like, so if someone is seen doing something recreational in town, you know, they're a coach, and someone's going to go to, why is he not recruiting? Why is he not breaking down film right now? I mean, you have no idea.
Well, that's like with the Predators right now too. Like there's, and this is legitimate. Like I've seen this on Twitter where people are dead serious about it. Like Predators are too busy having babies rather than winning. I'm like, okay. So like, they're like supposed to just pause their entire life to try to win hockey games. Like you're not allowed to get married, not allowed to have children. That's a fun right. world.
Yeah. Exactly. Now here's something I will say about that. And again, it's not blame at all. I have thought about how this team has gone from a whole bunch of people without small children to a whole bunch of people with small children, which is, I mean, it is taxing. I mean, I don't care. You can be a pro athlete and have all the, you know, the paid support that you want. And, you know, your spouse is giving you all the, you know, as much as you can, you know, rest and all that stuff. It's still a strain and a wonderful strain, a blessing of a strain. But I have thought about, like, man, like how many teams go from all of a sudden, you know, basically a bunch of single slash maybe married but no kids guys to just baby boom everywhere. But, yeah, I mean, come on. You're going to, you know, you better hold off now. You wait until you've fulfilled your contract. Then you can start procreating. Yeah.
Just the dumbest thing. But, yeah, like I said, it's a legitimate thing with some people out there. I'm just fascinated by this story that you brought up about, you know, him not answering your questions for the last year that he was there at Michigan State. We had a listener yesterday give you the name of Joe Rexrude, which is a new one. I really like that one. Was that Ricky? So Ricky out there. So was that where Joe Rexrude was born? Joe Rule, Rex Rod, and now Rexrude.
I've never heard Rexrude before, but that's pretty good. Yeah, that was I'm trying to think. It was a story I wrote about basically him being on the hot seat, but I mean, it's a long story but basically he was very unhappy with, you know, some of the things said in that story. Hey, you know, this happens in this business. But then actually there was, so they played this team. They played like a bad team in the first game. Okay. And so my big story that day was blowout guide for fans. In other words, if your team is just going to beat someone like 50-7, what can you really take from it? You know, like what can you watch in this first game that will tell you something about your team? Okay. Well, I thought it was a good idea for a story. Sure. But he took huge offense to that because basically I was disrespecting their opponent. Right.
Uh-huh.
So he went on and on after the game about like, oh, blowout. And they only beat him like 24-10 or something anyway. But he went on and on about that. And I'm like, yeah, I don't have to respect your opponent. You respect your opponent, you know? So anyway, it went on from there.
No, we're going to get back into the football side of things with the Vols here in just a minute. But I do want to get your thoughts on something Josh Ward said earlier from WNML in Knoxville on the show with us. And you and I both, like, we looking ahead to this Tennessee team preseason and the talent that they have, we said, you know, maybe a Final Four caliber roster, a Final Four caliber team that they have in Knoxville with Rick Barnes and company. I still think they've got a lot of potential. I think when they're on, they are pretty darn good and a pretty darn good basketball team. But they have been pretty wildly inconsistent, especially on the offensive side of the ball. As you look at this Tennessee basketball team right now, what sort of a tournament threat do you think they are? Would you be shocked at this point if they got to the Final Four?
I don't think I'd say I'd be shocked. I could see them. I think when they're playing their best ball, I think they're that level of team. Could they sustain that for four games in a row? Because you have to be good right away. I mean, they're going to – right now they're probably trending in that 4 or 5 seed range. You're not going to get a gimme to start. Can they do that for four games in a row? I have my doubts. But shocked? No. What they need is, you know, they need everybody to play their best. They need to figure out Fulkerson. I don't know what's gone on with him, but he's just sort of shrinking. And they need him to be – look, he and Pons are not vocal leaders. They're not emotional vocal guys. Josiah James, I think, needs to be that guy. And they're going to have to lean on those freshmen. Those freshmen, you know, Springer and Johnson are special players. And those guys are good enough that – I mean, we've seen it. I mean, that Kentucky game completely turned around because they decided to just take it over and dominate it. And they're going to need more of that. But they also need, like, Victor Bailey to play well. I hit some shot, and I think he was, like, 1 for 8 the other day from 3.
Yeah.
Hit some shots, or don't take bad shots, or even if you aren't making shots, play some D when you're on the floor. He is really struggling. And Vescovi has his limitations. I think they need to try to get him more shots because – he's a terrific spot-up shooter. You know, I think he runs the team well. They're better off in the open court with, you know, like a Keon Johnson pushing the ball. It's kind of an – I mean, they're kind of a – you know, some pieces don't totally fit, but I still think they're good enough to make a run, absolutely.
When we come back, we'll revisit our poll question of the day at 102.5 The Game on Twitter. If you're a Tennessee fan, what percentage of Tennessee fans would take Gus Malzahn over Josh Heupel for this job? We'll revisit that discussion next and get to some of your reaction as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. All that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
This, to me, is one of the top 20 coaching jobs in all of college football, okay? And before this thing came open, I was set on setting out. But I will say this. I've been coaching 30 years. This is, I guess it was 8 weeks that got a chance to kind of sit back, reevaluate things. It took me about a week to figure out that, yes, I want to coach again. And then when this opportunity came, I just, I was ready. And I really believe, and I told Terry this, that they're getting the best Gus Malzahn coach of any time in my career. From the fact that I had 8 weeks to reflect, refresh, kind of evaluate too, and to be better the next time you do it.
It's official. The Gus Bus is in Orlando, taking in charge of the next head coach of the UCF football program. And now Tennessee goes from the UCF head coach becoming their head coach to Josh Heupel to now a proven SEC winner down at UCF to take over for the Knights. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Joe, impressive stuff yesterday from Gus Malzahn in his press conference with UCF, including, you know, apparently walking into just a pressure cooker there, just a hotbed at UCF for pressure that I'm not sure Gus Malzahn's going to be able to handle.
Coach, do you think you're going to be able to transition from the low-pressure SEC West to UCF? Can you handle that, Coach? God, please show me – give me the name of that media man. I need it to be a student media freshman. I got to have it, man.
I need it to be a seasoned veteran. I need it to be somebody that's done this for a long time. Look, hey.
I was gonna rip on TV reporters. I'm not gonna do that though. I love TV reporters and have many friends who are TV reporters.
Yes, we do. With that in mind,
that could have been a print reporter with a terrible question. Absolutely.
Let's revisit our poll question of the day at 1025 The Game on Twitter. Vols fans, if you could choose one or the other, who would you prefer to have been the next football coach at Tennessee? Would you have taken Josh Heupel or would you have taken Gus Malzahn? 210 votes are in, 56% going with Gus Malzahn, 44% going with Josh Heupel. Joe, I got to tell you, heading into this poll question, I expected it to be somewhere around 70-30 for Gus Malzahn. I really did.
Yeah, I figured I was more 60-65 would be my expectation. And again, a lot of the whatever, now it's 44%. I think a lot of that is, at this point, you got to be all in. You got to be all in on your guy. He is your guy now. At first, it's like, Heupel, really? But you know what? He is now Tennessee coach, Josh Heupel. And among the many things about the Tennessee fan base that I have found to be as extreme as any in sports, I feel like the embrace of whoever you have right now and absolute conviction that that person is going to get it done is right up there too. It's elite.
That's one of the few parts of the program right now that are elite. And Joe, we've talked about on the show so far today just the path for Gus Malzahn at UCF and looking ahead to the college football playoff. Maybe there's some expansion very shortly down the pipe here from going from four teams to eight teams. And maybe your path at UCF truly is better to get to the college football playoff than it would be at Tennessee. I think a lot of college football fans who have watched the game for a long time, maybe you hear that and you like throw your hands up in the air and say, what are you talking about? I mean, it's Tennessee. UCF doesn't have anywhere near the tradition that Tennessee has. And that's absolutely true. But it's fascinating to look at where these two programs sit right now and the path to the college football playoff. I think you can make a pretty strong argument that UCF could have a better path on that front. Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says the path to success is a lot easier at UCF, and he'll definitely be able to make his name marketable again there. Also, whether you like that they claim that mythical national championship or not a couple years ago, all the recruits care about is that they're going to win a lot, and there's a chance they could win a national title, which Tennessee has not been able to say for almost 20 years.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's like by all the primary measures of what a program is, Tennessee is absolutely superior to UCF. But I think especially, like if you told me, you know, after the contract, they're going to do another deal for a 14 playoff, and like we're talking 15 years down the road, then I'd think differently about it. I don't think Gus is. I mean, he's sitting there talking about we're going to be in the playoff. You know, he's not sniffing the playoff, okay? But if you get to eight, and part of the eight is that the group of five gets a spot, which I think to me it should be a conditional spot. It should be if you have someone at X level. But regardless, if you have a spot kind of reserved for a high-performing group of five team, then he absolutely has an easier path to the college football playoff than Tennessee does in the near future. There is no doubt about that. Now, maybe a path to, you know, losing 58-10 to Alabama, but it's still, I mean, this sport has become so like singularly focused on the playoff that, I mean, to me, that is a huge part of what a job is. And I think more than before, like jobs gain or lose attractiveness based on, you know, how feasible it is to get there. And it's not feasible for most teams in the SEC right now that aren't named Alabama, LSU, and Georgia.
And we also talked about, you know, if you're Danny White in this process, obviously you've hired Josh Heupel, and it doesn't sound like Gus Malzahn was even contacted. I know there was some chatter online yesterday about, like, why would Tennessee come out and leak that if he was, and he said no. Tennessee is not the one that would have leaked it. It would have been Gus Malzahn's people that would have leaked it, because anytime your coach is in the news for something like that, yes, that's good news for you, and that's good news for your client. So I think it's safe to say that he was not contacted by Tennessee, because if he was, we would probably know about it at this point. So
we would absolutely know about it.
I think that's a huge mistake by Danny White to not go down that route. Like I said, I think I said this yesterday on the show, you could still be looking for a coach right now if you're Danny White, and Josh Heupel would have taken this job. Like Josh Heupel, you know you've got him in your back pocket. And again, I don't know what level of success he's going to have here in this program. But to me, the fact that they didn't even contact Gus Malzahn is malpractice in this. And look, maybe he says no. He probably does say no, but you at least have to make that call if you're Danny White.
I agree. It's a mistake. It's a misstep to not explore it. And you're right. I mean, Josh Heupel, you could get him at any time. I mean, of course, Josh Heupel is ready to get out of that pressure cooker and to the much more gentle atmosphere of Knoxville, right? I mean, yeah. I'm sure it's, you know, it's like a vacation now. But no, in all seriousness, he was your safety all along, and you went real fast to the safety. And look, I mean, if you put those two coaches in front of me, it's absolutely slam dunk that I'm hiring Gus Malzahn based on what I know. I don't know the interview. I don't know specific things. I mean, I understand there's questions about Gus's offense, and that's fair, but based on achievement, based on what I know, based on the idea that, you know, Gus should be able to get you to, you know, an 8-win level. And then, you know, then you see Gus was a guy who at Auburn was built up to really good teams. He's not going to have them every year. He was also in the backyard of the greatest dynasty in college football history. You know how hard that has to be? And he still did what he did. That's how I look at it. And I know some Tennessee fans I've heard on Gus are just weighed down on him. And, oh, you know, I feel like some people have really misread him. And if he goes down there and kicks butt at UCF, even though it's not nearly as hard as kicking butt in the SEC, he's going to be brought up again and again around here.
Let's go back to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Kenneth texts in and says, maybe Gus didn't want the stress of Tennessee like he had at Auburn. Maybe not. Yeah. I mean, maybe that is something. And look, I mean, Gus Malzahn, we said it earlier, he's got all the reasons in the world to kind of sit back this year if he wanted to and not coach. He's getting paid a whole lot of money in that buyout from Auburn. And maybe that's the case. Like, maybe if Danny White contacts him and offers him at least, or at least gauges his interest level in the job for Tennessee, maybe that is something that Gus comes back and says, you know what, I appreciate the offer, but that's just not really something I want to dig into right now. I think there's a good chance that probably happens. But again, not to even make that call, I think, is a mistake.
Right. Absolutely. Find out. And look, if I could have a hypothetical right now, a hypothetical sports question answered, there's a lot of them. But right now, I would love to know the Gus reaction to the full court press at Tennessee. Because I think the texter there is right. It's like after going through all that, do you want to now come to a place that has been through all Tennessee has been? You could say, well, maybe expectations have gone down a little bit at Tennessee. And I would say they have. They've been forced down, but still. You're talking about a long-suffering fan base that is understandably not happy with things. Do you want to go right into something like that? Maybe not. I'd love to know what his answer would have been, but I just can't believe Tennessee didn't try to find out.
Coming up next, Joe Rexrode has got some potential Titans cap casualty candidates that we'll throw out there and discuss. Who's the most likely to not be here next year for the Tennessee Titans due to the salary cap? We'll discuss it next. This is Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Preds fans, join us Wednesday from 6 to 7 p.m. for Smashville Live. Smashville Live airs every Wednesday on 102.5 The Game during the Preds season and will feature Preds players, former players, and other special guests. And this year, we've gone virtual, and that means you could watch the show online via 102.5 The Game's Twitch, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and thegamenashville.com. Smashville Live brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. To view or listen to past shows, go to thegamenashville.com/Smashville Live. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And Joe, we talked a little bit.
But I just wanted to throw in there that the Smashville Live guests tomorrow night, JP Dumont and Stu Grimson. So those are the two guests for tomorrow night, Smashville Live from 6 to 7 p.m.
Very nice. JP Dumont, Stu Grimson tomorrow on the docket for Smashville Live. Joe, we talked earlier in the show about the Titans. And by the way, John Robinson, Titans general manager, speaking today at 12:15. We'll have that for you live here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Darren Donick and Chase will be carrying that. But we also talked about maybe some potentially salary cap casualties that the Titans could face with some offseason decisions that they'll have to make. And you've come out and contributed to a piece at theathletic.com highlighting some potential cap cuts that teams around the league could have to make. And I want to ask you specifically about a guy that we've talked a lot here on the show about, and that is Malcolm Butler. He had, I think by most accounts, a really good season for the Titans last year, had 4 interceptions, 14 passes defended, 86 tackles on the season, and was one of the few bright spots for the Titans on that side of the ball. So if you're the Titans, how do you balance the production that you've gotten from Malcolm Butler and the good season that he just had with the money that he's going to make? And you said it earlier in the show, a $14.2 million cap hit in 2021. That's a heck of a lot of money.
Right. But now, of course, $4 million is dead money, which means that if you did cut him before June 1st, you'd save 10.2. That's a big savings.
That is.
That's a big number. You know, I don't know. It's a fascinating. I mean, I think if you asked any member of that defensive coaching staff and you asked Vrabel, or probably anybody in that locker room, it's like, oh, Malcolm Butler's got to be part of this team. I mean, he is not only did he play well last year on a bad defense, but he is a guy who brings that extra level of intensity, you know, just enthusiasm, competitiveness. I mean, everything you're looking for in a football player. But $10.2 million, that is a number. So, yeah, he's one of those guys that it's going to be interesting. I would suspect that it'd be more likely that they would not try to re-sign Desmond King, that they would keep Malcolm Butler on, but that is a big number. You know, in this piece, I just went through, and I don't want to obviously give it all away, but I went through on some possible casualties here. So these are, again, these are guys who have big hits, big cap hits, big numbers at teams, especially this year, may just have to move on from. So let me throw this list at you real quick. Okay. And I'm thinking in terms of, you know, the Titans looking at guys who maybe, you know, you can get pennies to the dollar. So it's pretty interesting names. D Ford, Akeem Hicks, Mario Addison, of course, Von Miller. That's a big one. He has a big number. Jarrell Casey, by the way. Adrian Claiborne, Chandler Jones, Derek Barnett, Preston Smith, as you've mentioned, Calais Campbell, Anthony Barr. There's some guys right there who, some of them making a lot of money, some of them not as much. All of them have got to be intriguing on some level to the Titans or to teams that are looking for more help up front to be more, you know, disruptive in the line of scrimmage and, of course, have more – with some of those guys have an edge presence.
I would agree with what you've said about Malcolm Butler and Desmond King probably not being here together next year. I mean, that's a lot of money tied up in those two guys. Now, according to Pro Football Focus, they're going to sign everybody on defense. I mean, Butler will be there. Jayon Brown will be there. Jadeveon Clowney for 1 year for $13 million. So apparently the Titans got a lot of money to throw around on the defensive side of things this year and maybe just lets the offense go to crap.
I guess so. Yeah, just throw all kinds of money at Jayon Brown. Yeah, I mean – that. Yeah, they're way off. I mean, I'm guessing that as they went through their guesses there, they didn't exactly like do all the math on every team, which would be a lot of work, admittedly. But yeah, I think they're off base. I mean, I don't see the Titans just saying goodbye to Davis and Janu, but going after Jayon Brown.
We know that, you know, we talk a lot about, you know, John Robinson, Mike Vrabel, and kind of the New England way of doing things. And New England has been known for maybe getting rid of players a year too early rather than a year too late. We saw the Titans potentially do that last year with Jarrell Casey as well. Do you think that enters into the discussion at all with Malcolm Butler this year based on how well he played? Now, he is, what, 30 years old at this point? A lot of money that we talked about. Do you think that they even consider it? Because right now, honestly, as I sit here looking at this defense, I am pretty confident that Malcolm Butler is going to be back next year.
Yeah, I do think they consider it. I mean, if I had to guess, I would agree with you. But I don't know how you can't consider that given the number and given just the other challenges. I mean, it is, you know, we talk about John Robinson. You know, Vin Marino, who's been with the Titans for a long time, you know, and he's the cap guy, you know. That's the unofficial title. He's the cap guy. I'm sure this has been a busy and hectic and grueling offseason as he tries to put these pieces together on how things will fit, how things will work. When you talk about the guys you want to retain, the guys you want to go get, and then some guys who could really give you a lot of relief if you're willing to move on. I just think Butler is, again, I agree with you. I think he'll be on the team next year. But I think absolutely he's got to be discussed a lot here, because it's just, I mean, right now he's got the third biggest cap hit on the team next year. He got a bigger cap hit than Taylor Lewan and Derrick Henry next year.
I know, which is pretty incredible to think about. You can go check out the rest of that piece at Joe Rexroad on Twitter. He's tweeted it out for the link to the story on theathletic.com. Let's go to our text line quickly, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ben texts in and says, we're going to have to ride with Ryan, Derrick, and AJ. All the cap casualties need to happen on offense so we can at least get our defense to a place where it's respectable, and then you just have to ride the stars offensively.
Ooh. I get the sentiment, but when you are that special on that side of the ball, I just would not feel good about both Corey Davis and Jonnu Smith departing. And we also don't know about Adam Humphries, and that is important. Yeah. He gets forgotten because he was such a non-factor. He was out. And this is a guy with a $9.75 million cap hit. You got $5 million in dead money. You're only saving $4.75 if you cut him. If he is continuing and can get healthy and wants to come back, I think that softens the blow a little bit if you did lose both of those guys. But I don't think you can look at it like we just got to go all in on D and Derek, AJ, and Ryan will be fine. I don't think it's that simple.
Ryan Poore still holding strong at the studio. We wish you the best of luck for the remainder of your day in your battle with personal hygiene.
Thank you. Thank you. It will be not only a battle versus personal hygiene, but hopefully I get a chance to battle these roads to get back home for at least, 24 hours.
Absolutely. We wish you the best of luck in that.
Thank you.
I mean, at least if you need be, just go out and do some snow angels, and that's kind of like a natural shower.
Well, my wife has already texted me saying when you get home, we're going out into the backyard and sledding. So
there you go.
Yeah.
That's something to look forward to on that front. That does it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Darren Donica Chase is coming up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.